But jobs opportunities were mostly desired by black Americans.
And again, I'll tell you, and this is ridiculous, but every young man, so I can see it now, every black young man in New York used to dream of being a basketball player. It's God's honest truth. There's no availability to that. But, for instance, me, I figured I'd get me a job at the post office. Civil service was the easiest access to financial success in New York City for black people. Because you could take a test, you know, they couldn't discriminate in New York like they did in the South. There were laws against it, and you just took the, you know, because the post office is federal, and President Truman had made certain laws saying that, you know, you can't discriminate in any kind of federal jobs, the United States Army and things like that. It was still going on, but here was these laws so that if something happened, you could take people to court. And, you know, racism was still going on, but at least now, you know, if you felt somebody was not hiring you because of discrimination up in the North, you know, you had different ways to do that. But anyway, so I'm thinking, get me a job at the post office. That was available. It was opening up. It was really opening up. I started out at Alexander's department store working in the stock room, stocking toys for Christmas. At the end of the Christmas, at the end of the Christmas season, I was offered a job to become an assistant manager. But now dig why. We was a night crew. We was working at night to have the toy department completely stocked when the doors open in the morning. It was me and another black guy and four white guys. And one was the supervisor. The supervisor was white, and three other white guys. And they plotted and planned and schemed. And we used to sit down and talk about it all the time. How, damn, man, we here with all this stuff. How could we rip it off? How could we rip it off? The supervisor comes up with the plan and says, look, this is what we can do. We go down here to the Christmas tree department. Get the biggest Christmas tree that you could possibly get. Take the Christmas tree out. Load this joint up. Close it back up. Staple it back up and everything else. Put it on the side. When we go home in the morning, we go out and we come back in and purchase Christmas tree for $24. And they got leather coats. They got all kinds of stuff. So they came to me and they say, oh man, this is what we're going to do, so on and so forth and so forth. This is where my racism or my prejudice at the time saved me. I said to myself, there's no way that I'm going to do this shit with four white boys. That's what I say to myself. So I tell them, baby, I ain't down with y'all, you know. But I take their plan and work it on my own. But I was, so I scaled it down, talking about microcosm and macrocosm. Again, they talked about a big box, a Christmas tree box. I scaled it down to a box about this size that was a toy piano that cost about $4. But I stuck a radio in that joint that cost about $50. And I came back the same day and did what and got mine, and they got caught. They took the box out. They did it. They didn't get caught doing it. They took the box out in the doggone parking lot and started splitting the stuff up in the parking lot, and the security guard saw them. This is how I get my job, because I go into personnel because they say, no more night crew. We can't trust you dudes. You know, I go into personnel and I tell them, I say, hey, hold up, wait up. I ain't do the damn thing. You ain't bust me for nothing. So they say they can't get a supervisor. I said, well, why can't you make either me or the other guy that wasn't involved in it the supervisor. Well, we can't do it. So I started screaming racism. Oh, y'all don't want to do it because I'm black and the other dude's black. Y'all job and y'all don't want, you know. And then and I talked and talked. They said, look, that's it. So I forgot it and started coming to work 6 o'clock in the morning. I was really bitching because me and my wife had a system where I was working at night and she was working in the day. So it was going to inconvenience me. You know, but I was using all these other things, saying all this, but I really just wanted to keep on the night. After Christmas, they calls me in. I'm scared as heck, thinking they done found out that I was, you know, stealing too, you know. And they said, yo, man, you was right about the fact that, you know, you could supervise, but we couldn't make arrangements, so on and so forth and so forth. So now we want to offer you the job, you know, we want to offer you the job after Christmas, you know, everybody's gone. We want to keep you on as an assistant manager. So that, and, you know, I knew several friends that had come out of school and working in retail management, you know, lower management, but these were first. These were different, you know. These, this was in the 60s. This is when things really, this was the first time that availability for black people to get, you know, better jobs and things like that with an opportunity. This is, here again, you know, historical moment. This is when that started happening in the 60s. You know, it was, and it was, you know, it was, a lot of people were becoming more successful. You know, and like I said, those city jobs. You know, more and more black people was training, going to different schools to learn how to take the tests and different things like that. So, you know, the police department was opening up prior to that. When I grew up as a kid, a black cop, and I'm living smack dab in the world at the time, Harlem, New York. Not one black cop or one black fireman. You know, things like that. But by... And that, so that was like in the 50s. But by 60s, all that had changed. You see many more black policemen, many more white, black judges, lawyers, you know, which means they must have been trying to do something before the 60s. But the 60s is when, like, all of a sudden it just, like, flowered and everybody could see the progress, apparent progress, you know. The physical progress. That's what has changed in this country. And that's what started to change in the 60s. The physical changes. Not the mental ones. Not the spiritual ones. Just the physical ones, you know.
How did the economical problems of those years affect your family?
Enough. You know, I've sat down and I've thought about this recently. My family was only touched better, not worse. My mother, she got a job, I guess. My mother worked for AT&T. It was called Bell Telephone at the time. My stepfather was working for Western Electric, which was also an arm of AT&T. They had availability to get stocks and bonds, and AT&T every 2 years was split. To this day, because of what they did then, they are retired, living in Florida, swimming pool, everything they want, desire. The only thing is health, and they got bad health. But they don't want for any time they need to, and they got massive medical bills and stuff like that. All of this taken care of. You know, I'm in a bit worse shape than them. So it worked for my parents. And my father lives in Nassau County in Queens. He had bought a house for $18,000. That's now worth $100,000 in New York. My sister works for the New York City courts, and she's the head process server for the county of the Bronx, and she has gotten several awards on that. So my family was only affected, and this is really funny, because when I came down here to the South, and many white people that I talked to was not living as good as I was, thinking that I'm living bad because of what the media was talking about, how black people live this and so on and so. It was not like that in my family. My family has always been, but now I'm telling you, that is not a that's not the norm, because I got many friends that have not come out as successful as my parents and things like that, you know. And I got many friends that are dead now that died from overdoses from drugs and so on and so forth. But me personally and my personal family, we were highly successful. I'm like the least successful one in the family. All my other family members have retired and got pensions and, you know, things like that. You know, it hasn't affected any of them. And like I said, I'm about the only one. I'm the low man on the totem pole. And look at me, I'm getting my college degree. You know, so it affected us in a good manner. It affected us very, very well. Thank God for the 60s. Because, you know, when you say the 60s, you're actually talking about things started in the 50s. And what happened is the 60s, it flowered. But the seed and the roots was planted in the 50s. You know, that's when my mother got her job at the AT&T, and my stepfather got his job, my cousin started work. Two of my cousins started working for Metropolitan Life. Black women, you know, very successful and have worked in the insurance field as executive secretaries and various things like that. So I'd honestly have to tell you, if you want to take and compare my family, you'd have to compare my family as a white middle class family in terms of the experiences that I had and I seen them had. It was not the experience that I seen many of my black friends having. You know, it was like a and I do have to equate that most likely was because they raised themselves Catholics and they had this superior attitude. That's what my family had. A superior attitude that they was better than everybody else. They didn't let me go out there in the streets of Harlem. I used to have to sneak out the house to go out there because they felt themselves much, 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 much better than those people that was hanging out there in the street. And that's a negative, but it's a positive because it afforded me to be just a little gangster instead of a real big gangster. You know, like there was like the guardian angel thing, where there's a guardian angel on this side, the devil on this side type vibe thing, you know. Well, that kind of thing would be going on in my head. And the dudes on the street, they would be like, you know, and I'd be taking a little, like the tortoise in the hare thing, I'd be taking little small criminal steps, whereas they was like full blast. I didn't steal. You know, my main thing was just trying to be out there in the street to mess with the girls. That's the only reason why I wanted to be in the street, for the fun of playing stickball and different things like that and the girls. But I wasn't, you know, in terms of stealing, because I didn't have to. You know, my family, although they, you know, both my aunts today would be tip-top Parisian designers. I used to sit them, people used to come, they, one of my oldest aunt used to go and work with the Jews. She used to design clothes for them and everything else. I used to see women come into the house and tell my aunt, I want such and such and such and such. And she would sit down and draw it, make the pattern for it, cut it out, sew it up, and everything else. You know. So that's how they made their money. They never went to work. You know, they wasn't working. You know, that's how they made their money. That's how they took care of me, my sister, and my other cousin. You know, so I've always lived a step beyond what everybody says is the economical plight of black people. I've never really experienced that. I've experienced it metaphorically, feeling what my friends feel. But me personally, missing a meal, or never having clothes when I wanted them, or any of that. My family, you know. Now, these are things that I'm sitting down now, I'm talking to you and talking to you about that, you know, I didn't realize that at the time. I thought I was poor. You dig what I'm saying? So it's all in the mind. Because I thought I was poor. I thought I was just as poor as all the other, you know. But now I'm sitting down and analyzing it. You asking me a question like that? Hell no, I ain't never been through a hard time in my life.